And now you may be seated if you're still standing. This morning we have with us a Reverend Terry Hoke. I think you are all familiar with him. He's been here quite often. He was here not long ago and gave us a great talk on the Holy Spirit and how we should be telling our story, and I'm still running off of that one. And I can't wait until to hear what he has to say this morning. So, Pastor Hoke.
Thank you, Rose. You might have wanted to hold that till the end. One never knows, you know. I have faith in you, too. Well, good morning, everyone. Thanks for letting me come again. Somehow, listening to the way things unfolded this morning, I think that this is exactly what God wanted me to be, the message God wanted me to bring. Things disease cannot touch. And I told Karen I was waffling this week, just not quite sure where God wanted me to go. And I thought, finally, I settled on this theme. And then I heard the prayer request and such. And I think, this is right where we ought to be. Now, a number of years ago, I was preaching at a community service, and I said to the folks there, if you have your Bible, would you turn to? And a few days later, the pastor of the host church, he and his wife came to dinner, and he said, in our church, people don't bring their Bibles. And I said, he said, everything's in the hymnal. You know, we just follow the way through. I said, well, in our church, I fuss them if they don't bring their Bible. So if you have your Bible with you, I won't fuss you if you don't have your Bible with you. You might put it on the overhead now like everywhere else. But I still, even if it's up there, PowerPoint, overhead, whatever you call it these days, I always take my Bible. And I would encourage you to do the same thing. In Mark chapter 5, there's a story. There are a number of stories. In Mark chapter 5, you have the healing of a demon-possessed man, and we're not going to go there today. You also have a call from a father whose daughter actually had died. The father did not know that at that point. He just went to Jesus and said, can you come and heal my daughter? She's very, very sick. We find out about that a little later. In between, on the way, it says, a large crowd followed and pressed around him. Because Jesus, you see, said to that father, yes, I'll come and deal with your daughter. So now they're on the way. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there. This is verse 24 and then through 34. A woman was there who'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She'd suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and she touched his cloak. Because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped. The older I get, the more emotional I get. When I read that word immediately, it just struck me just now. So if I get emotional today, just hang in there. It's going to happen, all right? Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, now remember, this is a large crowd, and asked, who touched my clothes? And the disciples very gently said, what? You see all these people gathered around you and you ask, who touched me? Are you kidding? Or what? That's not in there, by the way. It's not in your Bible. That's just the way I think it's. That's how I respond. But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Now, I don't know what kind of, I know she had a bleeding issue. I don't know whether that was some kind of cancer. They didn't have all the medical knowledge we have now. And besides, if you don't know what it is these days, call it cancer. It just seems cancer is listed, so many things listed under that heading. And if you've been around a while, and the majority of the people in this room have been around a while, like me, and if you've been around a while, you know people who have suffered from all different kinds of cancer. Whether this was cancer or not, I don't know, but I will use that term anyway. So here's a few things that I know about what Scripture says disease can touch, just from this account. Disease can touch your time. Woman was there who'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years. 12 years. That's a long time. You know, we, when we get a cold, want it to be over yesterday. We get the flu last time, maybe a week, sometimes two. Some people griped and moaned and complained earlier this year to me that, I can't get rid of this flu. I've had it for 3 weeks. Really? Go to the doctor. Oh, that's a good suggestion. Yeah. We like to be, getting sick's bad enough. Being sick, it's even worse. But you know, people that deal with cancer are in a grinding marathon. It's there every morning. It's there every night. 24/7. Sometimes they feel good, sometimes they don't feel good. My sister-in-law suffered with cancer for 2 years. My mother for 5 years. My mother always said, if God gives me the morning, I'm claiming the whole day. We had a caregiver. She actually died in the Van Leer Church parsonage when we lived there. We had it set up like her apartment. And every day I'd go down. If the caregiver wasn't there, I was sleeping beside Mom on the sofa. She liked to have me do that on Saturday night so she could talk till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'd say, Mom, I got to preach in the morning. Oh, okay. And then she'd be quiet for a couple minutes and then start again. But anyway, I went down this morning, and the caregiver had come up and said, do you need to come downstairs? And I went down, and my mother had a temperature of 108. And I held her in my arms and said, Mom, I don't think God's giving you this morning. It's okay to go. Cancer can linger. I had a really good friend, had leukemia. And when he was struggling with that, and I went to see him, I was not his pastor, but I went to see him because family asked me to do that, and I did. And I went to see him, and I was sitting by his bedside, and his sister was sitting over there, and he's between us, and they gave him some morphine to make it easier on him. And he gurgled a little bit, and then he went, I looked at his sister and I said, I think he's gone. She said, I think he's gone too. And then his young son, younger than me, who I had in my youth group, younger and taller than me, about this much taller than me, came to the door, and I walked to the door, and he put his arm around my shoulder. And he looked at his dad, and his dad's name was Terry. He said, that was just a Terry container. His cancer had taken his life, but it couldn't take his memories from his son. Cancer can touch your time. And a woman was there who'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years. What did that mean? It meant it could touch her status as well. You see, if it was a bleeding issue, in those days, you were not allowed to gather together with the church family. You couldn't go to church. Your whole status was changed because she had this bleeding issue. And if you, as a member of the church, loved on her and went into her place and touched her at all, even if you went into her house, you were not allowed in church either. Imagine that. There's a list of people prayed for today. Some, I think, are here that have physical needs. But you couldn't be here. in this culture if you had a bleeding issue. It's a stigma. Maybe they were afraid they'd get what she had. Maybe it was just ugly. Cancer can be ugly, depending on what kind it is. You know, an extraordinarily sad thing that I've heard over the years? Two things. One is, if you're sick all the time, it's probably because of sin in your life. Please don't ever tell anybody that. Don't do that. The other thing, if you just had enough faith, God could heal you. A long time ago now, a young lady came home from California to visit her family, and she was ill. She had what's known as scleroderma, which is a hardening of the muscles. And the heart, of course, is a muscle. There's no cure for it. She was 26 years old when I officiated her funeral. 26. I was walking up in the New Guilford Church. I was the youth pastor there, and I had done my part up front, and I went down the back steps from the platform, and there's a hallway, just like probably below here, and at that end is a library, and I'm walking up there, and I hear sobbing in the library. And I look in. It was Lillian Wingert, whose daughter Cheryl had the scleroderma. And now, if you know me, and many of you do, I'm an embracer. I just love to hug. I grew up in a family of huggers. And so I walked over to Lil, and she's not a hugger, or she wasn't. She's with the Lord today. And I went like this, and she walked right into my arms. I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "Somebody just said, if I had enough faith, God would heal Cheryl." Well, I got to read Cheryl's diary before the service. And you know what it said in there? "Someone just told me if I had enough faith, God would heal me. How much is enough? Cancer can touch your status. Disease can touch your status. This woman had suffered a long time. Her status had changed. She suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors. The scripture says she spent all she had. And what happened? What happened? She got worse. Can you imagine that? You spend all you have and you get worse? And you want to go to the next doctor and see if he can help you, but you don't have the finances to do it. And I don't go to your church here, but I am so grateful to hear that you would like to support Todd and Shelley. And support can mean, hey, can you use some financial help? Because believe me, insurance doesn't cover everything. Sometimes it's hard even to pay what you have to pay out of pocket. And the only way you'll know is not by talking to somebody other than those in need. It's ask those in need. I guess what I'm saying there is don't talk behind people's backs. Just go to them. They may need somebody to lay a hand on their shoulder and pray. They may need somebody to reach in their hip pocket or in their purse. If you can find your wallet in a purse, you're lucky. My wife carries a purse that scares me, because if she ever swings that thing, I'm done. Unless I'm quick. Sometimes it means just going and asking people, how are you doing financially? Disease can touch you in so many ways. It can touch you in your time and your status and your finances. It can touch your strength. She suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors, and she grew worse. You should look at anybody who has a long-term disease that's heroic. Cancer patients are heroic. They live with what they have all the time. We have a granddaughter who is struggling. Andrew and Ben quizzed against her years ago, Kaylee Orbeck. And Kaylee has Ehlers-Danlos disease. That's a connective tissue thing. and has other side effects. She was at our table about 2 months ago by now, and she shivered, just like that, just shivered, dislocated her shoulder while she sat there. And she reached up and went, I said, are you going to put that back in? She said, well, it's either I do it or go wait 3 hours in the ER, and they won't do it any differently. And she went, like that. And the tears ran because it's painful. Heroic. Chronic disease is, the people that have chronic disease are heroic. Don't pity them. Pray for them. Pray with them. Go to them. You can't get, you can't pass on Ehlers-Danlos disease, all right? And there's a lot of diseases out there that you can't pass on to somebody. Now, if you have a bad cold or the flu or something, don't shake my hand. You know, if I had a bad cold and I was standing back there at the door and saying, hey, how are you this morning? You'd say, boy, that Terry Hook, he's a real jerk. If I had a bad cold and I was standing back there at the door, I'd go like this and say, I'm not shaking hands today. But other diseases, you can't communicate that way. So go see somebody. These people are heroic, those who struggle. This woman spent all she had and grew worse. Now, things that disease can't touch, cannot touch. That's the title of the message, right? Well, let me go there then. That's about all cancer can do to you is touch you physically. Just last night, I went on to YouTube and looked up something that I had seen years ago. Already had it in my notes. I wanted to make sure I had everything right. And it was about Jim Valvano, a former coach of North Carolina State. And I remember when the Brethren in Christ used to have basketball teams, basketball league. Anybody in this room remember that besides me? You are old. Just saying. And we could all tell stories, couldn't we? Yeah. Never mind. Don't have time. Jim Valvano was the coach of North Carolina State, and I just loved him. He was so dynamic and vivacious, and he was up and down the court all the time, and he'd wave his arms, and he'd go like this to the guys, and they knew just exactly what he was talking about, just when he's going like this. And they'd do whatever he wanted to do, and I just loved the guy. Always thought that's the kind of coach I'd like to be, where the guys out there knew what I was doing when I went like this, because most people don't know what I'm doing when I'm talking to them. But that's all right. There's Jim Valvano, and he was diagnosed with cancer. And if you want to look up Jim Valvano, this is a great speech that he gives. And this is what he said. Cancer can take away all my physical abilities. But it cannot touch my mind, it cannot touch my heart, and it cannot touch my soul. And these three things are going to carry on forever. You see, long-term illness, call it cancer, cannot touch your faith. When this woman finally fessed up and said, it was me who touched your clothes, Jesus turned around to her and what did he say? Do you remember? I'll read it for you. This is what he said. Daughter, your faith has healed you. It can't touch your faith. If you have faith, your heart and your mind and your soul are safe. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you know where you're going, and you're just getting there maybe a little faster than some of the rest of us. Your faith has made you well. Go, he said, in peace and be freed from your suffering, mental suffering. You want to please God? The Bible says without faith you can't do that. So build your faith. Do what you have to do. Did you listen real closely to the children's thing? I thought that was just perfect. You can go from here today and begin already. The kids are going to go back to school. But you can go away from here today and already make a beginning of moving away from the Lord just enough until Pastor John's back next week. And then you can come back in and hear another sermon from somebody different other than me, that is. And then you can go away again week to week. Or you can spend some time with Jesus every day. Every day. And you maintain that levelness, I hope not. At least you maintain that foundation and you start building on it. And it's better and better and better as you go. And suddenly something horrendous comes up, like happened to my dear friend Rhonda, who has cancer. Rhonda greeted us at the Antrim Church and said, "Do you remember me?" Now, the last time I had seen Rhonda, she was about this big. Now she's bigger and had long hair, just gorgeous. And then all of a sudden, I saw her one day and she had no hair. It was all shaved off. She said, "Terry, I have cancer. Will you stand with me at the healing service? My dad's in a home and he can't do it. Will you stand with me?" Oh, yeah, I did. We did. You see, she has faith. If I had brought my cell phone in, I'd read the latest update on her, and she's up here. She said, "I was down here, and I just went to the doctor, and they've given me 5 years to live. Most people that have pancreatic cancer get months to live. And they said, if I keep going the way I'm going and keep doing the things I'm doing, I could live 5 years." What if somebody told you you could live 5 years? See, I'm 71. That would make me 76. I'm not looking forward to 76 if I can only have 5 years, right? What are you going to do if something long-term strikes you today? What is it going to hit? It can't touch your faith. It can't touch your mind. It can't touch your soul. It can't touch your heart. Disease can't do that unless you allow for it to do that. Disease can't touch love. One of the products of cancer, of illness, long-term illness, is the love of relationships. Hurting people need you. They need the best you can take to them. And the best you can take to them is encouragement of their faith in Jesus Christ and where they're going. And not talking to them like you know they're going soon, just being there and being an encouragement to them. Cancer, long-term illness, shakes up our priorities and reminds us that the greatest things in life are not things at all. The greatest thing in life is a relationship. Starts with our relationship with Jesus and then our relationship with one another. The Bible says this, "I'm convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God." That's in Christ Jesus. Our Lord, here to hear. So I want to encourage you today, if you know somebody who's sick and you have a list. Rose already shared the list. You have a list of people who need prayer. And they not only need you to say, "Oh, please don't tell somebody, I'll pray for you if you don't." If you've told somebody this week you'll pray for him and I called you and I heard you say it and I called you, can you promise me without lying to me that you had prayed for them, or you just say, "I'll be praying for you, Rick"? Don't do that. Either don't say it or pray it. Live your faith. Let the words that come out here be true. I'll pray for you. Linda and I were at Myrtle Beach a few years ago. It was cold. We were at a flea market, and it was cold. I don't have much time here, but I'm gonna throw this in just because. Walking through this flea market and all the people there. Oops, don't cross your arms. My fault, John. Cross my arms over the microphone. Don't do that. Anyway, this one person smiled at me. Her name was Hinda. Never heard that before. H-I-N-D-A. My wife is Linda, so it's easy for me to remember her. And I commented about her smile because nobody was smiling. It was cold. And we got in conversation, and she said something about, why are you like this? Why are you encouraging me? And my Linda said, well, he's been a pastor for a long time. He likes to encourage people. That's part of his gifting. So I'm starting out of the building, and I heard, sir? And I thought, that voice sounds familiar. I turned around, and this was Hinda, and she said, next time you pray, will you pray for me? I've got some things going on in my life. Will you pray for me? And I said, certainly, I'll do that. She turned and walked back up through the building, and I took about 3 steps, and I said, wait. Linda's out in front of me. She said, you have to go back, don't you? I said, oh, yeah. I have to go back because I told her I would, and now I'm gonna. Do that. Go talk to people. Go pray for people. Disease cannot touch eternity. Eventually, this woman died of something. You can't cheat death. Or you can, sometimes, for a season, but you can't cheat it totally. But you can beat the fear of death. You can beat the fear of death. Balvano said, cancer can't kill me because I'm going to live forever. Our citizenship is in heaven. If we've been united together in the likeness of Christ's death, then we will be united together in his life. He also said, no, this was Paul Azinger. Yes, this was Paul Azinger. Paul Azinger, the professional golfer, said this when he was diagnosed with cancer. He said, a genuine fear came over me that I was going to die. He said, then I got to thinking about the fact that I'm going to die anyway. It's the how I don't know, but it still scared me some. And then along came, and I have this guy's name here. I'm going to see if I can find it. Oh, Larry Moody, who was the chaplain on the PGA at that time. And Paul Azinger said, he came to me and said, Zinger, you might want to write this down because this is really good. I didn't say it. I just copied it. But you might want to write this down. He said, Zinger, we're not in the land of the living going to the land of the dying. We're in the land of the dying going to the land of the living. Whether you're sick or not, that's where we are today. We're in the land of the dying going to the land of the living, not the land of the living going to the land of the dying. I was just at a memorial service yesterday for a friend of our family for years and years and years and years, a friend of my parents. Did I have to go? No, haven't seen the family for years, 30-some years that I know of. But when I showed up and they heard my last name, because I had to introduce myself, it's been that long, and they said, oh, yeah, you're Buck and Bid's son. I said, yeah, that's right. You were this big. I said, yeah, I know. We're in the land of the dying, folks, going to the land of the living. Paul Azinger said, I'm not saying nothing ever bothers me, but I don't have problems, but I found the answer to fearing death is Jesus Christ. One more quick story, and then I'm done. I want to encourage you, cancer, long-term disease, can't touch this stuff, okay? Can't touch the love and relationship. Can't touch your mind and your heart and your soul. Tony Campolo tells a story about being in a church in Oregon, where he was asked to pray for a man who had cancer. Campolo prayed boldly for the man's healing. The next week, he got a telephone call from the man's wife, and she said, you prayed for my husband. He had cancer. And Campolo writes, I thought, when I heard her voice, in the past tense, he had cancer, that he had been healed. He said, my heart's just praising the Lord. He said, and the next 2 words that this lady said was, he died. He said, I immediately was crushed. I felt terrible. I prayed for this man. She said, he had cancer. He must have been healed. He said, all of a sudden, boom, there I went into the dumps. And she said, oh, no, no, no. She must have, you know, if you listen closely enough on the phone, you can hear things that when people go, oh, like that, you know something heavy just hit them. She said, no, don't feel bad. When he came into that church that Sunday, he was filled with anger. He knew he was going to be dead in a short period of time, and he hated God. I sat in class at Messiah College a long time ago, and our professor said a friend of hers had just called who had cancer and said, if God doesn't heal me, I'm going to deny him on my deathbed. That's this guy here. He hated God. He was 58 years old, said he wanted to see his children and grandchildren grow up. He was so angry that this all-powerful God didn't take away his sickness and heal him that he would lie in bed and curse God. The more his anger grew towards God, the more miserable he was to everybody around him. It was an awful thing to be in his presence. But after you prayed for him, a peace came over him and a joy came into him. She said, Tony, the last 3 days have been the best days of our lives. We've sung, we've laughed, we've read scripture, we prayed. Oh, and they've been wonderful days. And I just called to thank you for laying hands on my husband and praying for healing. And then she said something incredibly profound. She said he wasn't healed. He wasn't cured. But he was healed. He wasn't cured. But he was healed. So what's the takeaway? Live in the presence of Christ. Trust in him. If you're sick today with a long-term illness, put your faith in Christ. Reach out and touch him. Just the hem of his garment. Put your faith there, because disease cannot touch your heart, your mind, and your soul. Will you be cured? Perhaps not. Will you be healed? Absolutely. There's a song that says this, no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man could ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand. Best counsel I can give you today. In sickness and in health, praise and worship and hold tightly to our Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for an opportunity to spread your word one more time. I thank you for this lady who reached out in faith and touched your garment. I thank you that she is an example that we can look at and say, you know, I need to stay on top of things with the Lord, even in the bad times. So Lord, for those whose names were read this morning, and for others who may not have a name on a list somewhere, I just pray your blessing upon their heart, their soul, and their mind. And along with that, I pray your physical touch in their life, Lord God, as a great physician through Jesus, your Son, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, bring healing to those that you will heal in whatever area they need it, to your glory, in Christ's name, amen.